There's so many perks and benefits to a child of God. It's a wonderful thing to be accepted in the beloved, as the Bible says. We're joint heirs with Christ. We have access to God's grace. I'll go briefly over some of the things we mentioned last week and then go on. I've got a pretty long list. We have access. The moment you got saved, you got access to the Father through the Son. That veil was rent in twain when our Savior died on the cross. And it gives us access. Many people think that our access is because of how good we've been. But no, that's not right. Our access is our... The Bible says we have boldness and access by the faith of Him. His faithfulness gives us access. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works. We have both access by one Spirit unto the Father, it says in Ephesians 2:18. My. We're adopted into the family of God as God's Son, Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Ephesians 1:5. We have an inheritance. Peter said, surely I must put off this mine tabernacle, for I have an inheritance undefiled and incorruptible, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me. I got a reservation up there tonight. If you're saved, you've got a reservation in heaven. And we have an inheritance because of Jesus Christ. We're chosen in Christ. We become a child of God. The Bible says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, there's a common misconception that everyone is a child of God. Well, in the creative sense, that's true. But when Adam sinned, we lost that image of God. Adam lost that spiritual identity with God. And that's why the Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then it said in John 1:11, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. The Bible says, for now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Sons of God, what a perk to be called a child of God. We get heavenly citizenship. Ephesians 2:19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Man, that's a wonderful thing, to belong to the household of God. You know, when I lived at home with my mama and daddy, when I went up to the house, I didn't have to knock on the door to go in. I didn't have to get permission to go open the refrigerator and see what was to eat. I was at home. As a born-again child of God tonight, you should be at home with the Lord, because you're of the household of God. We become an heir of God. Galatians 3:29, and if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We talked about suffering. Lonnie sang that, Lonnie and Natalie this morning. Talk about suffering here below. And you suffer with Him, you reign with Him. To know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings. For we know that the suffering of this present life is not to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. Wow, what a wonderful thing. To know Him and the fellowship of His suffering. The Bible says we become a new creature. Therefore, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's pretty exciting. We have to stand on that. We have to trust in that. We have to yield to the newness of life in Christ Jesus and not to the old flesh. We become a servant of God. I told that story maybe the last time here in church. I told it, I think, last night over at Hogan Hill. One night I was up at University Hospital, trying to get in to see somebody. I think it was a suicide attempt or something, but everybody's hush-hush, and they won't recognize anything or anybody, and I was trying to get in as pastor to see that person, and they wouldn't let me in, and finally the nurse said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm the servant of the Most High God." So are you. You're a servant of God. And if you'll get this thing in your head that you're a servant of the Most High God, you should act every day like that's who you are, because you are. You approach each day with, "I'm a servant of God. What can I do for my Lord today?" Every day can't be all about you and all about your things. And you need to think also on the things of God. You're His servant. You're there for Him. We're reconciled to God, the Bible says in Romans 5:10, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." See, there was enmity between me and God when I was in my sin. I couldn't approach to God. There's a separation between me and God because of my sin. You remember when Adam sinned, God had to withdraw His spirit from God because He had no fellowship. He's holy and He's pure and He has no fellowship with unrighteousness. Oh, but the moment I trusted Christ, I took on the righteousness of His precious Son, Jesus Christ. For Christ became the end of the law for righteousness. Law is pure. Law is holy. But we do not get our righteousness as Christians from the law. Christ became the end of the law for righteousness. What a wonderful thing. We become a priest of God according to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." You ought to study that out sometimes. We preach on it once in a while, the priesthood of the believer. We don't have a hierarchy where I'm more important than this person, or the deacon more important than you, and God don't go for that program. We're priests. Individual priest to Christ. I'm an under shepherd. God is the shepherd. And we're all in this thing together. I'm a servant. He that is first, let him be last. My. A priest of God. We're sanctified. Sanctification has to do with setting something aside for God's purpose, to be used of God. 1 Corinthians 6:11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Acts 26:18, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." I was sanctified by faith. Body of flesh cut loose from this new creature in Christ, the soul and spirit, now lives forever. The Bible says our lives are hid with Christ in God. My righteousness is in Him. It's not in this body of flesh. By the way, Paul said, "I know that in me," and he is the greatest Christian maybe that ever lived. He said, "I know within me," that is within my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing." He said, "One day God shall change our vile bodies." So don't get real pumped up and prideful about who you are in the flesh. "Let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall." All right, in relation to God the Son, we're accepted in the Beloved. It's a wonderful thing. You know, the greatest thing is to feel like you're accepted. You walk into a church house. You walk onto the job at work. You want everyone to accept you for who you are and to appreciate who you are and to recognize that you're an equal with them. We're accepted in the beloved because of Jesus Christ. I'm not accepted because of how smart I am or how wonderful I am or how good looking I am or I ain't, but it's good to be accepted. You know, the Lord had this thing down. The educators get it all wrong about self-esteem. Public schools tried to teach that, oh, it's all about me. You're so wonderful and amazing, and it's all about you. But God don't teach that. God says to esteem others better than yourselves. Now, knowing that, if a child walks into the classroom knowing that every other child in that classroom esteems him or her better than they do themselves, there'd be no self-esteem problem, because all we want is to be accepted, to be loved and accepted. You see how simple? Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, God, I'm not talking about self-worth. If you ever doubt your worth to God, your value to God, look at the cross. For God so loved the world, you're pretty valuable. Observe the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they are? Sure, you're valuable to God. In fact, God bankrupted heaven just to secure your salvation. He thought that much of you. That's self-worth. That's not self-esteem. Let me move on. We're baptized into Christ's body. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you notice here, there's no water baptism mentioned within 8 chapters in either direction of this verse. And there's no connection with the baptism of 1 Corinthians 12 to the baptism of Acts 2:30. You're baptized by one Spirit. It's a spiritual operation of God. All the 7 baptisms in Scripture, the other 6 are merely pictures of that which is true, or types. Just thought I'd throw that in. So, we're born with so many perks and benefits and things that happen the moment you trusted Jesus Christ. We are given to the Son by the Heavenly Father. We're God's gift to His precious Son. John 17:9, the Lord in his high priestly prayer to God the Father, he said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. We are a gift from God the Father to God the Son. The Bible says when you got saved, you were buried with Christ. You're complete in Him. That body of flesh is identified with the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. And then, as He was resurrected, you're identified with His new life. Life anew, life afresh. We're buried with Him in baptism, and you are complete in Him. I'm in Colossians 2:10, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. Who does that surgery? God does. It's an operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. As long as He lives, I live. If you're a Christian, as long as our Lord Jesus Christ lives, you live. We're indwelt by Christ, the Bible says. Brother Phil Gabbard taught that in our Bible Institute here about a month ago, about one of the mysteries that are in the Pauline epistles. 7 mysteries. One of them is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the mystery of the indwelling Christ. And we are indwelt by Christ. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Man, that's an exciting thing. It can be a little scary too, knowing that God's part of you. The Bible says we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Then when we do something sinful or stupid, we ought to be reminded that God's right there taking notes. I don't guess he really has to take notes, does he? We're given eternal life. How long is that? Eternal life. How long is that? John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's a promise from God. We are saved by Christ. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. Don't say you might be. Said you shall be. And that promise is from God who can't lie, cannot lie. God is faithful and cannot deny himself, his own holy character. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're saved by our Lord. Neither is there salvation, it says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Bible said it's at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because of our salvation, because of Jesus Christ, we have the peace of God. That's that reconciliation back to the Father through the Son. There's only one verse this word is used one time in the Bible, and it's the word is daysman. And the context, a daysman is someone who stands between a two parties. It's like a man standing here with his arm around two different people, and he brings them together. That's what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. He brought us together with the Father. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The only way you can get to the Father is through the Son. Any other way, you're a liar and a thief. It has to be through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We become a friend of God. That's a good one. John 15:15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. We have our name recorded in the book of life in heaven. And the Lamb's book of life were written down. Luke 10:20, notwithstanding, and this rejoice not, but that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's what the Lord told the disciples. You need to be happy about that. That's what you ought to rejoice in. Your names are written down. There's a verse hidden away in the book of Esther. Esther 8:8. And it says, whatsoever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. You can do with that what you want to. My name's written down by the King of Glory, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Friend of God, name recorded in the book of life in heaven. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's why it's important to understand your role as a servant of God. I've been having this relationship with God where I'm a servant today. I'll be serving him, I hope, 25 years from now, 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, I'm still a servant of God. So I ought to be doing today what I plan on be doing 1,000 years from now. Don't think, well, when I get to glory, I'm really going to serve God. No, you serve him now, goofball. Don't put it off. You've got the opportunity to serve him now, to do something for him now. I don't know why these folks keep me around here. Anyway, we are seated with Christ in heavenly place. We receive a blessed hope. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We come in fellowship of the Trinity, with the Trinity. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Man, that's a pretty good crowd to hang out with. Have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord made that possible for us to have that. Also, the Bible says that we have a mansion. Don't say we have a room or a dwelling place. The Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's a mansion. It's already prepared, reserved for you. Got your name on the door. My. In relationship to God the Holy Spirit, we're born again. John 3:3-7, Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that's a water birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, that's the new birth. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. We receive an anointing by the Holy Spirit of God. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as even as it is hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, many times Baptist churches, they have a tendency to neglect the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, he's still part of the Trinity. He's still God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He indwells you, he guides you, and teaches you. And if you'll become sensitive to him, if that still small voice will keep you informed on the will of God. It will interpret the word of God for you. It'll guide you into all righteousness. That still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God. By that same Holy Spirit, we are sealed into the day of redemption. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. What's the Bible say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then it says, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed. You heard it and you believed it. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." The Bible says that word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword and able to discern the very thoughts and intents of the heart. Sometimes we as preachers or soul winners, we will labor over what a sinner needs to say as far as their prayer when they come to Christ. And you know, when that person gets up and that heart turns to God, he's heard the word, he's believed from the heart. He's probably saved before he ever hits that altar, because that word of God is able to discern the very thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows whether you're real or whether you're faking it. I don't know that, but that's my best guess from the Word of God. Whenever that heart belief comes in and that faith is given up on yourself and placed in Jesus Christ, the Bible says repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit of God moves in and seals that soul. Our body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. For some of us, that's a very scary thought. Temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6:19. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" We're given spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, I would have you not have you to be ignorant." You know that we were Gentiles. "When you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led, whereof I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus Christ accursed. No man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Diversities of gifts, all by the same Spirit. God says to neglect not the gift that is in you. If God gave you a gift for something, don't neglect it. David said, "Whatever your hand findeth to do." I think it was David that said that. David or Solomon said, "Whatever your hand findeth to do, you do it with your might." God gives you ability to do some things. You do it for the glory of God. All that stuff that's done out here in the parking lot, that's a glorious thing. I couldn't do that. I couldn't. I'd be here till the cows came home and then left again. Dennis and some of the men in this church know how to do that stuff. I don't know how to do it. That's a gift. That's a gift from God. So you give it to God. Some of you singers, musicians, you use it to God's glory. My. Neglect not the gift that is in you. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to men. Precious Holy Ghost of God. We're indwelt by that Spirit, according to Romans 8:11. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken," that means to make alive again, "your mortal bodies by his Spirit," capital S, "that dwelleth in you." 2 Timothy 1:14, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" We're the temple of our Lord. Isn't that something? A lot of us should have taken better care of the temple. Probably most of us. Relationship to the recipient. I'm about done. We're forgiven. Luke 7:48, "And he said to her, thy sins are forgiven." Man, I love that. "Far as the east is from the west, so I'll remember your transgressions no more." Remember one time David said, thou hast cast my sins behind thy back. God's omnipresent. You know what that means? It means he's everywhere all the time. So if that's true, and it is that God is everywhere all the time, and David said he cast our sins behind his back, where are they? They're gone. Another place it said he'll take our sins and cast them into the depths of the sea. And then over there in Revelation, I looked and saw that the sea was no more. Yay. Wow. Let me move on. Almost done. We're forgiven. We're justified. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we shall have the peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. My, my, my. And the Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us by the washing of regeneration, renewing the Holy Ghost. We're redeemed. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. My, my, my. As a lamb without blemish and without spot. We have an advocate with the Father because of what Christ did for us. When you got saved, you've got somebody making your case. You've got somebody presenting you in the very best light to God the Father. That's a wonderful thing. An advocate with a Father. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have the possibility of getting victory over sin. We're given a new spirit that indwells us. The Bible says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, we are partakers of the divine nature. He gives us the power to overcome sin in our life. I don't know any man that's been successful at overcoming all of it except Jesus Christ. But the more we yield to him, the more power we'll have in that battle with sin. People talk about having that cup filled with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Holy Ghost of God. Well, that cup can't be filled with the Holy Ghost of God if it's already three quarters filled with the world. Almost done. We become an ambassador for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. About 38 things that happened to you the moment you got saved. Your relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, your relationship with one another. That love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. That comes from God. That's a fruit of the Spirit, that godly love. It's not the fleshly, lustly love. It's a fruit of the Spirit kind of love. It said, love one another. As I have loved you, that you love one another. That's taught of God. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Man, I think it's an exciting thing to be a child of God. Man, God overlooks all my craziness and foolishness, and whew, you too. I'm done. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? You're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ. Everyone stand up tonight. The Bible says that we're all a mess. It says there's none righteous, no, not one, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you agree with God on that part, the Bible says, except two be agreed, how can two men walk together? Two walk together except they be agreed. Well, God says you're a mess. Says I'm a mess. The Pope's a mess. Billy Graham was a mess. All have sinned. Because of our sin, there's a penalty that has to be paid because of your sin, because of my sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you look at a gift, you have a giver, Jesus Christ, and you have a receiver, And that's whosoever will. Whosoever will, let him come. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever heareth, let him come. Whoever is athirst, let him drink the water of life. If you've never trusted Christ, let tonight be the night. He said, I've heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation, as we sing.